Pastor Michael, we're in a season on questions related to heaven and hell. And today's question is a simple one, but it's going to get into some things here. What happens in hell?
Yeah. So as we talk about this, I'm going to be more surgical about this as opposed to emotional. Because if you kind of just spend too much time getting the emotional side, it'll get in the way of like what's objective and true.
Yeah.
And so whenever we talk about hell, though, like we have to kind of know, like, are we just kind of trying to get our brains around the objective reality of it? Or once you get to the emotional side of it, it's profoundly motivating when it comes, especially to like gospel clarity,
yeah.
And the urgency to have conversations or the urgency to pray for people so that the Lord can open up doors. Cause not every heart is ready to even engage the gospel.
Yeah.
So as we talk about that, two things happen in hell. Number one is furious judgment. I almost feel like furious is not strong enough for it. So two scriptures, I think, if you'd read them for me, and that'd be helpful.
Yeah, Hebrews 10, 26 and 27 says, "For if we go on sinning deliberately, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries."
Yeah, and this is important, a fury of fire. And these words in English mean what they mean in Greek.
Yeah.
This is a rage. This is a consuming. This is painful. This is angry. And the whole point is you have adversaries and they're being consumed by fire.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is Revelation 14. Could you read that?
Yep. Revelation 14, 9 through 11. "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night."
All right. These are interesting words.
Mm-hmm.
The cup of his anger, they will drink the wine of God's wrath. How much wrath? Poured full strength into the cup of his anger, tormented with fire and sulfur. And this is interesting, in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb.
Mm.
So when we get to some more conversations on hell, I keep baiting this, right? But like, hell is a physical place and Jesus has access to it.
Mm.
And so do angels.
I can see it.
And then we'll see later on that in the new earth, it's likely that we do too. At least that's what the text communicates.
Hmm.
And then again, we've talked also that there's this idea of annihilationism, this idea that the hell is real. It's a real place. You go there at the judgment, but your time there is temporary. You pay for maybe your sins, but then at like when you've paid, God, he annihilates your soul, your conscience. You cease to exist.
Mm.
And so you have no awareness whatsoever. It's like you go to sleep, but forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
I wish that were true. That would actually make hell far more palatable emotionally.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He says the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. Now, some people stop there and they go, look, it's just the smoke. And then it says they have no rest day or night. So day or night, forever and ever. They're meant to complement. They're not separate concepts.
Yeah. This is all hard, right? Because there's a lot of hard things we're saying that, you know, if we're honest, the emotional side of us, I think everybody would be like, this is what scripture teaches, but I kind of wish it were something different, at least in my understanding of it, right? Like, there are things that are just not easy for us to accept or understand. We have a lot of questions, but what's important is that we're getting down to what scripture says and we're letting God determine, right, what is and what isn't, and what's true and what's not. And I think we'd both want to be sensitive to the idea that there's a lot of strong feelings about this on every side.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to acknowledge that. And we want people to understand, like, we're not like saying this with joy in our hearts and like, you know, this is just the reality of what scripture teaches, and it's hard, but we also want to acknowledge that.
Yeah. I mean, our nature is to not want to look at the hardest things of life head on.
Yeah.
We like to avoid things. We like to close our eyes, turn our head from the train wreck, you know, but like when it comes to the word of God, there might be some days where we don't have it in us to think about this, but we do have to, at some point, stare it for like dead in the face for what it is and say, okay, this is what it says.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in this world that I wish were not so. I wish they were not real. One of the interesting parts of hell is that, and I think we're going to see this in the second part of this podcast, but there won't be somebody in hell who said, I didn't know, this isn't fair. If you would have given me something different, I would have chose something different. Like I wish, like, I'm glad that's not the case, but the irony is that people choose what they choose, and they choose it on purpose, and they choose it with rebellion, and they harden their hearts. And this is part of the frustrating part of humanity. And it's not that God has not sent messengers. And one of the things we don't see are all of the times that the Holy Spirit humbles someone's heart or brings conviction to them. And one of the things that Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit is that he convicts the world of sin.
Yeah.
And that's not just Christians, that's non-Christians. So what we don't have any category of is how many times a day the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction of sin and upcoming judgment. How many times a person's brain goes, deep down, I know that I'm going to have to pay for this one day. Mm. And they just suppress all of these things because it's not convenient for what they want. And on the day of judgment, I think Jesus is going to lay out a case that is so overwhelming with every single person alive that they'll say, wow, thousands of times I quenched your spirit, pushed away those thoughts, ignored them.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, Jesus, you could have done or said that would have changed my heart because it was inherently hard.
Yeah.
So number one, what happens in hell is furious judgment. And number two is eternal torment. Now, there are a few categories of this. So this eternal torment is number one, enduring. And I'll just read 2 Thessalonians 1:9. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. It's funny because this says away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. And so somebody might say, yeah, but then in Revelation, it says that they're going to suffer in his presence. Mm. And the idea here is that you can be in God's presence, but away from relational presence with him. And so you will realize right away that God and I are forever broken and I still have to face him. Mm. And so, like, yes, hell is separation from relationship with God, which is just, that is its own torment.
Yeah.
But then there is the physical side of it. And so it cuts in kind of both directions. The eternal torment isn't just forever. It is constant. Like, if something's forever, then you would hope there'd be like some reprieve. Revelation said that the smoke of their torment goes up day and night and forever and ever.
Yeah.
It is physical. This is the third one. They have no rest day or night. It's emotional. I think the word that Jesus uses in Matthew 8:12 is they're thrown into outer darkness. That's another word for the bad part of, of the afterlife. And in that place, there's weeping and there's gnashing of teeth. And when people hear gnashing of teeth, like, most of the time what they think is just this idea of like, oh, like, you know, just sadness.
Or like pain, maybe.
Yeah, but it's not that. Gnashing of teeth, and I always feel weird doing it, but like, it's this rage. Your teeth are, they're gnashing, grinding against each other out of anger. So what you find is that those who get sentenced, even though it's a just sentence, their reaction is not typically, I'm so sorry. It's, I hate you.
Yeah.
I want nothing to do with you. And if I could do it all over again, I would. It's this, it's an irrational rage that is rooted in hatred and anger.
Yeah, it's not like reasonableness. They're doubling down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And that's, so like a bunch of Puritan theologians identified that when you go to hell, you're not just being punished for the sins you did on earth. You're also being punished for the sins you do while you're in hell. Hmm. So it's a constant just overlapping, like, if you could pay for an eternal sin, all you're doing is heaping judgment upon judgment. Mm. And so every time you rage at God and gnash your teeth at him and blame him or whatever, you're just accruing more wrath, which is the idea that it is forever because you're forever in rebellion against him. And that would apply to the demons as well.
Yeah.
And lastly, eternal torment is relational. And that's where the gnashing of teeth comes. So you have the weeping, it's physical, the no rest day and night, but the gnashing is like I hate God. So there's so many nuances to what happens here. It's eternal, conscious torment, it's physical, it's emotional, it's relational.
Yep.
It's constant. And that is why I wish this doctrine didn't exist. But like, I don't, again, I can wish it.
Yeah, I don't get to decide that.
Yeah, you know, like any Christian can be like, I believe in annihilationism. It doesn't make it real. You know what I mean? I can try to believe in something different. It doesn't matter. I can believe that you're purple. You're still not purple. You know what I mean? It's just my beliefs actually don't even matter. What matters is what is true and what the Word of God says. But the emotional side of it is what this is supposed to do is move us to prayer and evangelism. It should break our hearts to a degree, but it's also, we're limited in feeling everything all at once.
Yeah.
And so out of even just kind of survival, I can't feel the full weight of hell all the time. Yeah. So I kind of have to kind of pick and choose when I emotionally parachute into that subject. Right. Otherwise I'd be a non-functioning human, you know?
Yeah. I think you nailed it that there's so many emotions and aspects of it and we can't, really process them all at the same time. But like you said, if somebody goes to hell, they won't have the excuse of like, well, I couldn't handle this. I was too emotional, or like my emotions got the best of me, or, you know, I didn't want this to be true. And like, I thought there was no way it could be true. Like that's not an excuse. We have everything we need to make a decision now.
Yep.
And again, once it's appointed once for man to die. And then after that, the judgment.
Yep.
So again, I think, talking about hard things is something that we don't always relish, but we still realize like this is important to equip all of us to understand exactly what this says and point to the text and draw our understanding and doctrines from that.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Hard as it is.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.